For our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to the 84th Psalm, Psalm 84. And we'll read, beginning with the heading, which is a part of the psalm, how amiable, or how beloved are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. This is a song. It's a song with three stanzas. It's a song of his love. It's a song of his power. And it's a song of his wisdom. It's a song of his love. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. In this section we have brought before us how God takes guilty men and brings them into a place of fellowship with him and welcomes them into his family. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Freedom from the penalty of sin and brought into eternal favor into the family of God. In the second section, we have the song of his power. Blessed is the man. Happy, most happy, is the man whose strength is in thee. It's the song of his power. It's a song of his wisdom. The Lord will give grace and glory. All the future is taken care of. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Blessed is the man who can say like the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And so in these three stanzas, each of four verses, we have a song of his love, a song of his power, and a song of his wisdom. And in between the two sections, we have that little pause, verse 4 and verse 8. Selah. That's the rest between the verses of the hymn. It was John Ruskin who said, there is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in the rest. Now I want you to notice particularly the heading of this psalm, because this is a part of the psalm, unlike parts of our New Testament where we have certain things printed at the top, which the translators have put in. This is an actual part of the psalm. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. That's the heading of this psalm. The psalm for the sons of Korah. 11 of the psalms are headed that way. A psalm for the sons of Korah. If you take your Bible and you read in the 16th chapter of Numbers, you'll read the meaning of this title. A psalm for the sons of Korah. In Numbers 16, we read how that Korah was the ringleader, followed with Dathan and Abiram. They led a rebellion against God's appointment. God had appointed Moses as the mediator between Israel and himself. And they came and they said to Moses and Aaron, says, you take too much upon yourselves. Who do you think you are anyway? We're all a part of God's people. We just have just as much right to approach to God as you do. And it said there were 250 of the chief men of renown that followed them. And then Moses rebuked Korah, this ringleader. And he told him, he says, you take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Isn't it enough that God gave you a part in his service? And now you're going to take the priesthood also? You think you have just as much right as we do? And he says, you take too much upon you. He says, you have resisted the will of God. You know, there are many people that have the idea that they don't need a mediator. That they don't need to come to someone that enables them to come to God. But the Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And while there are many ways to come to Christ, there's only one way to come to God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to come to God except through Christ. He says he also suffered for us, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Moses spoke to all the children of Israel. He said, separate yourselves from these wicked men. God is going to judge these men for their rebellion against his order. There's only one way you can come to God. It's through his mediator. You can't come in your own way. God is not going to accept you as you are. You've got to come through a mediator. He urged these men to turn from their rebellion. And when they persisted in it, he said to all the children of Israel, separate yourselves from the tents of these wicked men, because God is going to open the earth and swallow them up, and they're going to go down into the pit. But there's an interesting verse in Numbers 26, in verse 11. It says, notwithstanding the sons of Korah perish not. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah. And in my mind's eye, I can see these boys. He had three sons. They said, Dad, don't persist in the way you're going. You're opposing the will of God. God has a mediator. He's got a way of approach don't think you can come as you are to him. You can't come that way. You've got to come through a mediator. They pled with their father to turn from his rebellion. I can see that stern-faced old man. He says, I don't care what you say. I'm just as good as the next one. I'm just as good as Moses. I'm just as good as Aaron. Who do they think they are? He says, we can come to God, and they took their 250 censers. They sought to approach to God in the same way that God had told Aaron he could approach. The Bible tells us how God judged them for their sin. Every one of them were judged by God. And I could see these boys, these three sons of Korah, as they pled with their father, Dad, don't go on this way. Moses said, separate yourselves from these wicked men. In this psalm, you have the sons of Korah, and they said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. They turned their back on their own father, and they said, Father, if you won't come, we're not going with you to hell. We're not going to follow your example. The sons of Korah perish not. Oh, let me tell you tonight, we're all the sons of Korah. None of us are worthy. They were worthy of death, but God in his mercy spared these. A psalm for the sons of Korah. And in the opening verses of this psalm, he tells us how God brings into blessing those that are not deserving of the least of God's mercies. For if you're waiting till you're worthy of God's salvation, you'll wait in vain, because no one is worthy. And the psalmist says this. He says, the sparrow has found an house for herself, and the swallow a nest to lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord, the place where the sacrifice was made, that's the place that the sparrow found a place, a home to dwell. The sparrow, the most worthless of birds. Why, the Lord Jesus said, you remember, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? The smallest coin next to the mite. You remember the mite? The mighty mite? Two mites make a farthing. And to give you some idea how little worth these sparrows were in our Lord's time, the smallest coin could only purchase one sparrow. Thousands of them. And in our Lord's time, they used to sell these on a little spit, just very little meat on it. They were so worthless that the smallest coin would buy just one. Are not two sparrows. And the Lord Jesus said in Luke's gospel, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? If you had two farthings, they even threw in another one extra, or as we used to say, for contra. It was so worthless. Are not two sparrows. The most worthless of birds. I found a place to dwell. Blessed are all they that dwell in thy house, that most worthless of birds. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? I remember years ago, when I was in the tire business, a man came into the place of business, and I noticed in his grill there was a little sparrow wedged in the grill. And I pulled that sparrow out. And I thought of the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one of them falls to the ground without his notice. And are ye, said, not of much more value than many sparrows? The most worthless of birds. And I can tell you in the authority of God's word, when you come to the Lord that way, not on the basis of what you've done or can do, but on the basis of your own unworthiness, you get somewhere with God. The first prayer in the Bible is the prayer of Jacob. He said to God, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. If we got what we deserve, every one of us would be in hell. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. Oh, Jacob, he had cheated his brother out of the birthright and blessing. He had gone to spend time with Uncle Laban, and he'd connived and cheated one who was trying to cheat him. And now he was on the way back. He had left home under the sentence of death. His brother says, if I get my hands on him, when my father and mother are dead, I'm going to kill him. Here Joseph, Jacob rather, is on the way back, and he hears the news that Esau is coming with 400 men, and he trembles in his boots. And about that time, he decides it's time to pray. So he prays to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I am not worthy. But he pled to God, and God delivered him. I am not worthy. The prodigal son came from the far country, said, I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Last year, 1988, I was in northern Minnesota having meetings. A man by the name of Keith Yates came and he sang at those meetings. Keith Yates makes his home in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and often is seen at many of the Bible conferences out there. Keith Yates is a twin. And Keith Yates is black. And Keith Yates was born blind. And when he was a little child, an infant, his father and mother decided that they would keep the boy that could see. But they wouldn't keep the boy that was blind. And so he had been in several orphanages during his life. During that time, he had learned to love and appreciate gospel hymns. Has a rich, strong voice. His nickname is the Bear. That's what he's shaped like a big teddy bear. You know how these teddy bears are shaped. Well, Keith Yates found that while his father and his mother had forsaken him, the Lord took him up. He was like that fifth sparrow. It found a place of shelter in thine altars, O Lord. One night, when he was there, he sang this hymn. Way back in the Revolutionary War, there was a man by the name of Major John Andre. He was a spy for the British, and he was in civilian clothes, and because he was caught in civilian clothes, he was hung by the Revolutionary forces. He was then 49 years of age. And on his person, after his death, were found these words, and these are the words that Keith Yates sang one evening. It's called My Hiding Place. Hail, sovereign love which first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace. which gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the simple race, secure, without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty Love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to Sinai's eyes, fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, mercy's angel soon appeared. He led me with a beaming face to Jesus as a hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, which must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became their hiding place. Should sevenfold storms of thunder roll and shake this globe from pole to pole, no thunderbolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. Ah, yes, it says, the sparrow hath found a place, a home for itself, even thine altars, O Lord. There was that brazen altar. There was where the priest offered the sacrifice to God. There the animal was slain, its blood poured out, and it all went up as a sweet savor to God. That's the place that the sparrow, the most worthless of birds, found a hiding place, a home for itself. And what shall we say of the swallow? The swallow is the most restless of birds, flitting here and there and everywhere. God's word says that's the picture of man by nature. He says the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, there is no rest, saith my God, for the wicked. And I can tell you this in the authority of God's word. You'll never find rest of soul until you find rest of soul in the Lord Jesus. There's no other place for rest. Men are trying to find rest and satisfaction in the things of this life. But there stood one in Judea over 1900 years ago, and he shouted to the people these words, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Horatius Bonar wrote, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary head, lay down upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. But you notice what it says. It says that the sparrow and the swallow have found a home and a nest. Even thine altars, plural, thine altars, O Lord. And you know, in the tabernacle, God had two altars. He had that brazen altar, that big altar out front where the sacrifice was offered, and that speaks of the work of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he died in our room instead. But there was another altar. There was the golden altar of incense. And it was there that the priest served and sent the sweet incense up to heaven, which speaks of the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us we need both altars. It says, when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only did He die to make our salvation possible, that's the message of the brazen altar, but He lived to make it actual at God's right hand. And God's Word says He's able to save to the very end all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Some of you old-timers will remember when my father and Mr. Stratton used to be serving the Lord in these islands, and they used to sing together this hymn. Oh, listen to our wondrous story. Counted once among the lost, yet one came down from heaven's glory, saving us at awful cost. Who saved us from eternal loss? Who but God's Son upon the cross? What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? In heaven, interceding. He saves by his death, and he is saving us by his life. Romans chapter 8, the apostle says, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is also at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. We are being kept by the power of God, the scripture says. In verses 5 and 8 it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. In the first four verses he praises God for his deliverance from the penalty of sin. And in the second four verses he prays for his deliverance from the power of sin. And in the third four verses he speaks of the prospect of deliverance from the very presence of sin. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Often people have said to me, you know, if I trust in the Lord Jesus, I don't know if I'll be able to live for Him. Well, let me tell you, that's not your word. If you come to Christ, He'll live His life in you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The Lord said to Paul, and when Paul said, Lord, I want to get rid of this thorn in the flesh, I could live so much better if I didn't have this to contend with. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And blessed is the man who can say with the psalmist, the Lord is the strength of my life. It says in Isaiah 40, to him that has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And in verse 8 we have the prayer, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. I like that. God calls himself in the scripture the God of Jacob more than any other individual, more than he says the God of Abraham or the God of Isaac. He calls himself the God of Jacob. And what a wonderful thing that is. Jacob, that conniving. He was so crooked he had to hide behind a corkscrew almost in his dealings. And God calls himself the God of Jacob. He takes this poor, worthless man and he links his name with him. He's not ashamed. Call us brethren. We have much to be ashamed of in ourselves, but God links His name with sinners such as we, and He's pleased to put His name on us. Oh, God of Jacob. I love that in Genesis chapter 32. It says, the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob. Here was a fellow who was always doing his own thing, going his own way, choosing his own path. And as the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob, Jacob's thigh was thrown out of joint. No longer could he walk in his own strength. No longer was he able to be independent. And in his weakness, he clung to the angel of the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, I'll not let you go except you bless me. He spent the rest of his life limping on to glory. His thigh out of joint. And it's a blessed time in a man's experience when he realizes he has no strength of his own. But he leans on the Lord. Blessed is the man. Most happy is the man whose strength is in thee. Verses 9 to 12, we have, it seems to me, the future suggested. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the household of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. Are you worrying about the future? Says the Lord the sun. And a shield? As the sun, he's the great provider. As the shield, he's the great protector. Don't worry about the future, because the future is in his hands, and says the Lord will give. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. The Lord will give grace and glory. He'll give you grace for the journey, and at the end of the journey, it says he's called us who have trusted him to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. This is a song for the son of Korah. It's a song of his love, that God takes the most worthless of sinners. He takes the most restless of sinners, and he saves them by his grace, and he gives them a part in his family. Blessed are they that dwell in the house of the Lord, his children. I wonder if you're a member of the family of God. The Bible tells us how you can become a child of God tonight. It says, to as many as receive the Lord Jesus. To them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's a song of his love. God welcomes any and everyone into his family. He says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not only will I receive you, he says, I'll never cast you out. And then for the journey, he says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. All along life's journey, we have divine help for every step of the way. With God, not without him, but with God, all things are possible. And then blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Paul said in Acts chapter 27, he says, I don't know what the future is. But he says, I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is against that day. I was listening recently to a tape of Dr. H.A. Ironside, and with this I close. He held up his hand, and he said, I can take you from uncertainty to certainty if you look at this hand. If that's uncertainty. Saved, that's certainty. If uncertainty, saved uncertainty, saved certainty, certainty. And in between, three fingers. And he said, I want you to look at each of those three fingers and read the word shalt. Shalt, S-H-A-L-T, shalt. And if you'll take this trip, you can go from uncertainty to certainty. You can know absolutely, positively, that you're a child of God tonight if you'll take these three steps. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, that's step number one, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. I wonder if you'll take that trip tonight. Just where you are, unworthy of the least of his mercies, just come to him Take him at his word and know the joy and peace that comes through believing. May God grant it for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and our Father, we're thankful for the grandeur and the simplicity of the gospel message. And we're thankful that thy word assures us from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself that any person here tonight can make the trip, the most important journey in life, from death unto life. For he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." And we do pray that there will be men and women and boys and girls here tonight who will just take thee at thy word and rest upon thy promise, not to try and improve themselves, but to come just as they are with the assurance that thou wilt receive them and that thou wilt welcome into thy family, because the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood, our souls to redeem. Part us with thy blessing, we pray, and use thy word to this end, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing a verse or two of a hymn? Number 152. Art thou weary? Art thou languid? Art thou sore distressed? Come to me, saith one, and coming, be at rest. 152. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. 152.